Passage from today is Proverbs 4, 1 to 5. You can find it on your pew Bibles on page 529. Hear, O sons, a father's instructions, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Carrie. You know, those Bible verses, as we're doing a study in Proverbs, would be written to the child to take here, to listen. And yet our theme of our message today was wisdom in parenting. And so I'd just like to revisit verse 2. It says, I give you good precepts and good teaching, good doctrine, sound learning, good guidance. So young people, listen. But I'm directing my message to us parents and grandparents. Are we giving good doctrine, good precepts, sound wisdom to our children, to our grandchildren? Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you and Lord, I feel the importance of the message you give us this morning. It's from the front to the back of your word, of teaching the next generation of you, the importance of it. And Lord, when that fails, the tragedy. So speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, with your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I have a lot of verses that I want to bring in from all different areas of the scriptures. And so I tried something new. I thought we need to get a PowerPoint with the verses up. So I got the verses. I give it to the office gals. Hey, can you put this in PowerPoint form that the sound guy or the video guys can put up? Yeah, they can do it. Well, problem is I can't give them the right verses in the right order. And so printed it out, and I realized I'd messed up three of them. So I think we got it corrected this morning. We'll give it a try. So the question is, as we as parents, are we giving our children good guidance? What is the wisdom that Proverbs is talking about that our children should adhere and listen to? And it's found in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about introducing, guiding our children, our grandchildren, in the fear of the Lord. And that's not talking about being afraid of God. That's talking about respect and awe and reverence and accepting God as the authority in our lives. And that's a challenge. This morning, obviously, my message is geared to mom and dad who love the Lord and desire to teach their children. But the truth remains to all, even if you're a single parent. If you're your spouse does not believe in God, it maybe presents more challenges, but the principles, the charge is still the same. And what is our priority as parents obviously we see number one, our priority is to teach them to fear the Lord, to follow Jesus. And then secondary, as parents, we want them to become responsible and productive members of society. Successful. But that's way down the list, way down the priority of teaching them to follow Jesus. And the question I would like to ask you this morning to consider, if you say, well, yeah, that's what I'm all about. That's what our family's all about. Is that the reality your child is living? That they know without a shadow of a doubt that God is what's most important. That their identity in the family, in their life, is in Christ. Their identity is in Jesus and not in academic success or athletic success or popularity. They know without a shadow of a doubt that mom and dad, what's really important to you is that I follow Jesus. This morning, I want to bring in a lot of Bible verses, and I don't want to share my observations and experience. I just want you to know that God's Word is true and infallible, and my experiences are just that. So, as I share experiences and observations, I want you to just consider, how does that fit in your family, in your life, seeking God's will. Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. And also Psalm 78, 4 through 7. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, where he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And we could spend the rest of the morning reading Bible verses of one generation to the next, children to the next, setting up things, remembrances in your homes and in your paths, that when the children ask, what is that about, you can tell them of the works of the Lord. It's fitting this morning as our children receive God's word. I have a quote in the note page there of D.L. Moody, founder of Moody Institute, teacher of men and women, of young adults. His quote is, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. The importance that we're talking about here. Google Bible verses generation to generation. The one, I didn't look them all up, but it said the 100 Bible verses of teaching the next generation. It's important to God. It should be important to us. Because Numbers 14:18 gives us a warning. A warning of the father who doesn't uphold that. The father that sins. It says, I'm slow to anger, filled with love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. But then he goes on to say, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, even children to the third and fourth generation. When that chain is broken, it is broken. We can see it. You've observed it. We see it all around us. I used to really be bothered by that verse. I thought, God, this is not fair that you would judge children for their father's sin. And I don't think that's what the verse is talking about. I think the verse is simply saying this is the natural consequence of parents' failure. And God can redeem all broken things. Make no mistake. If you came from a broken parents, that does not mean you have to remain broken. God is a redeemer of souls. But there are natural consequences when we fail as parents. And then we come to the verse, and Micah brought it out in our introductory to Proverbs, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I think this verse is probably Satan uses it to destroy more parents than you can imagine. The parent that loves the Lord has strived to teach their children, and their children turns their back on the Lord. And we read this verse, and we're filled with guilt and feelings of failure. And we remember every parenting mistake we've ever made, and we become defeated. But our children have a choice, and we will talk about that a little bit later. The very foundation of the gospel is that each one of us personally have to place our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And someday, as we pass that baton of faith to your children, it's a process that takes years. Sometime they have to grab hold of it and take it away and hold on to it themselves, and sometimes they drop it. But what is the way that we should train them in? As I was studying, and I've studied it before, and there's you see the commentary going two different ways. One is teach them the way of the Lord, what we were talking about. The fear of the Lord. And the other one is train them in the way that their personalities, I've heard it say, what their bent is, the way they're leaning, the way they're going. And so I asked our resident Hebrew scholar, Nathaniel, his thoughts on it. And he gave me some verses, and one of them, I had never looked at it before. Genesis 3:24. And this is after Adam and Eve had sinned and God had driven them out of the Garden of Eden. He drove them out, the man and the rest out of, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and the flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. The way to the tree of life. And we know John 14:6, Jesus himself declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to the tree of life. So definitely, train up a child in the way is Jesus. A little of my and Heidi's history. Been married 46 years. So our children were running around here 25, 30 years ago. Oh man, that's crazy. Four children, 13 grandchildren. Our firstborn, 1982, had colic, a lot of sleepless nights, but a compliant child. We were involved in the cabin ministry, we were involved in a small group, we were just on the go. And we didn't want to get babysitters, obviously, for a newborn. We didn't want to stay at home. So we needed him to fall asleep wherever we were at. So we would go to church during the week in the evening, put him to bed in the nursery, He'd fall asleep, we'd get him up and go home, or we'd take him to the cabin, put him in his crib at the cabin, and he could sleep anywhere. I thought, this parenting is easy. I ought to preach a sermon on it. And then the next one came along, the lawyer. That child that had a reasonable argument, logical, well thought out for everything they did. And at 5 years old, you're wondering, maybe they're right and I'm wrong. And then the third one came along, Uncle Mark, nicknamed Wild Man. And by age 3, our parenting goal is, can we keep him out of prison? And I mean, you can laugh, but it was serious. Fearless, full of energy, just crazy. Going to tantrums that were uncontrollable. And I tell you, there was a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer for wisdom, seeking counsel from others, praying over him. And somewhere around age 5, I can only say it was God. Did a work in his heart, this little 5-year-old that was crazy. His brothers were scared to death of him. Took all that energy and all that fearlessness and turned it into doing good and helping others. And he gets more done even today than anybody I know of getting and helping others. And then the fourth one came along, the strong-willed woman. I'll never forget in the delivery room. Minutes old, laying on mom's chest, lifts her head up and looks around. This is my world. So as we looked at and consider Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go, obviously it also involves their individual, unique characteristics, their personalities. 13 grandchildren, all of them unique, all of them with different talents, different personalities. Even the 2 that I can't tell apart are different. I sometimes consider the people in the Bible, and I visualize what they're like. And I've often thought of as children. What were they like as children? And I look at the Apostle John, and this is my thoughts. There's no scripture to back this up. I think of the Apostle John as he's the compliant child. And then the Apostle Peter, he's the strong-willed one. And then the Apostle Paul, he's the ADHD kid, just bouncing off the walls. Look at his writings. His thoughts are... And God used them. And God uses our children. As they become adults, he takes those personalities, those talents, those gifts, and uses them to his honor and glory. And I am humbled when I look at my children's lives as adults now. And God, only by your grace and working in their lives. It's not what I have done. But it's a challenge. It brings a challenge into parenting. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. If we got it. For I am formed, for you formed me, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, My soul knows it very well. See, there's someone that knows your children better than you, and it is God. Psalm 119:73 says, your hands have made and fashioned me. And the beginning of wisdom, I believe, is prayer. Prayer. Seeking God. How to raise your child. How to encourage your child in the Lord. How to discipline your child. Because James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. So as we go to discipline, probably a somewhat controversial, especially in our society today. I mean, some in our society today said we should even let our children decide whether they want to be boys or girls. Don't influence them in any way. Let them be who they are. And that is not God's way. I want to make that very clear. God has called us to influence our children, to influence in for the fear of the Lord. And so we have discipline. We're developing good habits and actions, and we're trying to break the bad habits and actions. And that involves punishment for wrong actions. Now let's differentiate here between willful disobedience and immature actions. Spilled milk by accident takes on a different action and discipline and punishment than when they look you in the eye and they dump their milk on the floor. It's two different things. And the one we really want to take care of is that willful disobedience, that challenge to authority, our authority, and to God's authority in their lives. Proverbs, we could talk again, many verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 29:15 gives us the warning of no discipline. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child just left to do whatever they want to do brings shame. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. So what is this rod of discipline? Well, Proverbs 23:3 kind of clarifies it. It says, if you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Now, that's a pretty harsh verse. And we need to take the counsel of all of Scripture and not just pull out one verse at a time, because there's also Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And Galatians 6:1, which is talking about the church, but I think it also would be relevant to the family. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Discipline is important. It's an important part of God's plan. Hebrews 12:10 talks about God's disciplining us for our good, that we can share in his holiness. It's God's plan. But we have to take the whole counsel of Scripture, of that gentleness, of not provoking. And I'm a proponent of spanking. I'll just say it. I was spanked. And I was spanked with a father with a gentle heart, but with a firm hand. You know, you ever hear that? This is going to hurt me more than you? I lived that. I knew when my dad had to spank me, it hurt him more than me. I don't think I was ever spanked that tears didn't roll down his cheeks. And I knew it was out of love. Never out of anger. If you use corporal punishment, never out of anger, never out of retaliation, or to humiliate your child. Discipline is about your child. It's not about you. It's about restoring your child, not about you exerting your authority. And you know what? If you were abused as a child, if you just, this is not right, if you just don't think you can do it, that's okay. Can I say that? You know, one of our children, spanking was totally ineffective. You might guess which one. The one headed for prison. He just would look at you and in defiance, you could not, he had no fear of pain of any kind. We had to be creative. We had to be adaptable. We had to be consistent. It's about restoring your child. That's what discipline is. It needs consistency. You ever been here? You take that last bite of spinach before I count to five. One, two, three, four, four and a half, four and three quarters, four and seven, eight. That's not a time to teach your children fractions. Yes, we want to display mercy and grace to our children. But I would challenge that by the very definition of mercy and grace, it has to be preceded by law and punishment. Otherwise, it's not mercy and grace. It's just enablement and license. You know, another thing that you should consider, this parenting is not about good cop, bad cop. Ephesians 5 makes it very clear that dad, love your mom, love the mom. Best gift you can give your child. And mom, respect dad. You know, if there's conflict in how parenting, and mom and dad both love the Lord and follow the Lord, mom, defer to dad. Might be hard. Talk it through, but defer to dad. And you know, when we make mistakes as parents, it's a beautiful time to teach repentance. Because we teach by example. Our time is really going this morning. I was afraid of that. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them on your sign as your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Parenting, teaching, training is 24/7. It's bedtime. It's morning. And it's not just the Bible knowledge that we teach them. And maybe you feel inadequate if you're a new believer, but you can share your faith. Teach them by living life together. You know, teach them good habits. Your two-year-old can actually clear their plate from the table. Now, it's going to be more work for you. It's going to be a mess, but they can do it. And someday, the spouse of your child will thank you for that, that they can clean up after themselves. Oh, boy. You teach them when you're riding home after church. Oh, that guy's going 10 miles an hour slower than the speed limit. What an idiot. Your children hear that. They learn that. You know, just a few thoughts. You know, one thing is we grew up, raising our children, we didn't have all the electronic devices. TV and a desktop computer was basically it. But, you know, TV wasn't on during mail time. It wasn't on Sunday morning. Desktop computer was in the center of the home that, not in their bedrooms, no TVs in their bedrooms. Consider how your children handle and have access to their electronic devices. They can be wonderful, but they can be destructive and addictive. And Ronald Reagan, as he was dealing with the Soviet Union and doing treaties, he said, "We will trust, but we will verify." It's good, good thought for parents. You know, our kids were involved in athletics, and the athletics are great. And I'm so thankful they were only involved in school athletics, so there was no Sunday, no Wednesday night, no conflict with church. And I just would encourage you, what are you teaching your children about priorities? And I realize church is not your relationship with God. It's not dependent on church, but I will just say, in my observation over the years, the people involved in a local body committed under the authority of the leadership, I would just say, have a higher success rate of their children following Jesus. It's not a law, it's not a rule, it doesn't mean you have to be there every Sunday, but I've just seen it progress. The parents that, will come Sunday morning and not really be involved in anything else. Well, their children, we'll go on Easter and Sunday, and by the third generation, they're nowhere to be seen. Consider God. You know, our title was Roots and Wings. I have to thank Aunt Pauline for that. I don't know if that's her original, but that's really the goal of parenting. Develop roots that go down deep in family and in faith, but train them to fly away and be the person God wants them to be. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And I would say, just say, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our child's faith. It's God's work in your children's lives. It's God's work. We have to prepare them to leave the nest, to fly on their own, to have a deep faith on their own. And that can sometimes be the biggest challenge, of letting go, of giving that prodigal to the Lord. You know, one of our children, as they became a young adult, struggled in their faith. Not sure what direction they wanted to go. Living a lifestyle that they were not taught from us. And I remember a discussion. Sitting beside them and telling them, there is nothing you can do that would cause me not to love you. There's nothing you could do to stop me from loving you. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And the Holy Spirit drew her back. And she brings so much joy into my life. You know, there's another time we have to give them to the Lord. You know, when they're laying in a hospital bed and they have an ouchie that you can't kiss and make better. They're in God's hands. They're not in your hands. Third John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Let's pray. Lord, our children are yours. We pray that your Spirit would work in their hearts. But Lord, you have given us a responsibility to teach and to train and discipline them. Fill us with your wisdom. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. That will conclude our service.